is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas, challenges, and benefits for global healthcare services. This is Irving Stackpole, and I'm here today with my co-host, Elizabeth Ziemba.
Thank you, Irving. It's wonderful to be here, and we have a great guest today speaking to us from Moscow, Mr. Kim Wada, CEO of the AI Group Russia and organizer of the biannual Moscow Med Show. The number of Russians now actively seeking healthcare treatments abroad rose 47% in the last year, making it one of the fastest growing sectors worldwide. It is estimated that more than 70,000 affluent Russians travel each year for medical treatments abroad, spending in excess of $1.4 billion U.S. dollars. The Moscow Med Show gives consumers the opportunity to meet and talk with healthcare providers who are offering their services to the Russian market. As the organizer of the Moscow Med Show, Kim Wada is here to share his knowledge of the Russian market with our listeners. Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, Kim.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. I'd like to start with a general question. What initially interested you in international medical travel?
Well, we are basically exhibition organizers, and we organize several events here in Moscow for many, many years. And we were looking for a new sector, and I actually have some experience of medical tourism from many years ago. We looked at the potential. There was a conference taking place here, but we concentrate on B2C events, so consumer events, and it looked like a good opportunity, and we basically jumped in with both feet. So we started the exhibition and then started learning a lot about medical tourism and then slowly start to meet our peers in the business.
It's always interesting to our audience to hear how individuals worldwide became interested in and involved with the sector. You mentioned a personal experience. Do you mind sharing that with our audience?
Sure. No, I was in the tourism business, which is why I originally came to Russia way back in 92. And this was a time that Russia was really shrugging itself out. I'm under communism and starting to live, and people were already starting to make money. And any constitutional or institutional building or hospitals, everything, they're in a terrible state. So anybody wanted good medical treatment, they had to look abroad. And in those days, I was working with some very influential people who have become even more influential people now. And initially, it was for some slight treatments, then for more treatment, and then it started becoming some very serious treatment into the clinics, especially in Germany at that time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned...
So this is 15 years ago.
Yes. You mentioned that you're organizing conferences that have a business-to-customer or consumer focus, a B2C focus. In many parts of the world, these types of conferences have been tried and have not been successful because the consumers or customers aren't being attracted to these conferences. What do you suppose it is about the Russian market that seems to attract consumers to business-to-consumer conferences?
Well, I think the main point is we don't have the facilitators or the middlemen here in Russia. There are very, very few companies based in Russia that do offer professional medical tourism abroad. Mm-hmm. If you search on the local Russian search engines, you'll find that Germany and Israel seem to be number one in the results, and they're paying an awful lot of money, up to $50 per click. So even the clinics in Germany and Israel are going direct, in effect, directly to the clients. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit what we found, because as there's not the middlemen, there's no agents, these patients, these people with some ailments and some problems, they really just want to come to the exhibition, meet our international participants from all over the world, and sit down and talk and say, look, I've got this problem. Can you help me? Can you cure this? And it is essential, anybody who comes to our events, to have a doctor or have somebody with medical training, because the people do want very, very specific answers to the questions they're giving.
It's interesting. Elizabeth and I like to think of the medical travel show as a marketplace of ideas. And there what you've described seems to be a marketplace of medical solutions.
I suppose that's what we're trying to do. It's basically, I say, Russia has always worked differently. My experience in the tourism business, it took a very long time before the tradition or the international tradition of tour operator travel agent actually evolved. In fact, in those days, it was a $50 difference between a tour operator license and a travel agent license. So you took the big one. And so everybody was everything. And that's a little bit the same in the medical tourism. Some people are trying. There are some specialists on the market. The lady I worked with those 15 years ago, I met her a year and a half ago, and she's still in business, not doing a great deal of business, unfortunately, but she's still there. But that network, that landscape, I suppose, of facilitators, agents, you know, as we see at conferences, people have got these nice official words that are used, the jargon for the trade. We don't seem to have that in Russia. It's basically, here are patients, and there are clinics abroad, and we've got to bring the two together.
Kim, you just mentioned that the Russian market is unique in several ways. What advice can you give our listeners who are interested in pursuing the Russian market? How is it different, and what might businesses do differently in Russia than in the rest of the world to be able to succeed there?
Good question, actually. I always used to tell people before they were coming to Russia the first time, do you know what that is? It's a red light. It's a street light. People are supposed to stop. Well, don't believe it. Nobody stops in Russia. So basically, when you arrive here, it's think outside the box. If you've done it before, oh, we always do this in Europe. Well, leave that paperwork at the airport. You don't need it. People coming the first time should come just with a completely open mind and just be prepared to watch, to learn, to listen. With my staff at the exhibition, we're helping people. When we see them struggling a little bit, so they've worked different ways in other places. And in Russia, basically, it's go and grab patients. People are walking past. They've got a problem. They're pushing a kid in a wheelchair that's obviously got a problem. Go and ask them, can I offer you services in my clinic, wherever the clinic is? And so there's this tremendous interest, and the shortage of good medical treatment here and the opportunities abroad, and people are just taking those opportunities. And as exhibition organizers, it's really wonderful just to watch people sitting, seeing the x-rays coming out, seeing the CDs being stuck into the drives and computers, and people sitting there discussing their problems. Obviously, there's cosmetic surgery as well, so it's quite interesting seeing some of the body language that's going on in those type of situations. But it's a really fulfilling event when we just watch people and see people leaving, and they're clutching their bags and they're getting their information. And as we hear from our participants, the main thing is they have a contact, and you know, they meet 7 to 10 potential patients. And with Russian patients paying up to 25,000 euros per trip, and you know, our recent survey proved this, you know, there's a lot of potential business for people.
It sounds like it's a very exciting, energizing, as you said, fulfilling environment during the Moscow Med Show. During the introduction, I threw out some statistics, and as we say in the medical tourism sector, data is suspect. And I'm just wondering if you can shed some light on perhaps the accuracy of those statements that the market is growing rapidly, that the estimate was last year 70,000 affluent Russians traveling abroad. Do you think those numbers are an accurate reflection of the market? And regardless of the size of the market, what kinds of services are people traveling for?
As for official figures of people traveling abroad for medical tourism from Russia, there are no figures. There is no system within any passport check or anything else as to the reason people are actually traveling. we did a lot of research in the last year, and we found estimates on the internet from 60,000 to 350,000.
Wow.
And the value of the markets, you know, being so much higher. Again, it's what is medical tourism? If people are just traveling to Turkey to go and sit in the spa, is that medical tourism as well?
Mm.
But there's no basis behind any of those facts or figures. Say, before we started the event, we talked to several doctors. It was very difficult initially because they didn't like the idea of even admitting that treatment abroad could be better than treatment in Russia. And also just from experience, and to a certain extent, those figures are very, very much a guesstimation created by our company. But based on the figures and based on the number of people that we speak to at the exhibitions and also to our regular participants and the number of people that are visiting. Obviously, you've got certain destinations, Thailand, which is taking a great deal in numbers, mostly there for cosmetic procedures and not so much in the way of important invasive surgery or whatever. On this market, we've got Germany and Israel very strong on the market. We mentioned before, very strong with their direct marketing. And there, people are spending a lot of money on the treatments that they're actually taking. As to the treatments themselves, there we do have some facts and figures because we make a big survey at the exhibition. And we have some lovely ladies running around asking as many people as we can questions on why they're at the exhibition, what they're looking for, et cetera, et cetera. And we do have facts and figures on what they're actually looking for. And just basically, the highest numbers are people are looking for diagnosis and treatment abroad. It's about 33% of the market. Surgery abroad is just under 30%. And then cosmetic surgery is about 20%. But then under that, we've got dental treatment, spa, preventative medicines. So, you know, they're looking at the whole, every aspect of the spectrum of medical tourism abroad.
It's a fascinating market with some very interesting dynamics from both a public health perspective and a business perspective. We know from health affairs and other journals that the healthcare infrastructure in Russia was deteriorated. And is there any effort underway to rebuild that infrastructure and to help stem this flow of willing consumers traveling abroad for medical care?
Oh, there is. I mean, this country or this city has changed so much in the just over 20 years that I've known it. When you walk, I've just arrived back in Moscow myself, been away for a month, and you realize it's changed. It's just like any other European city with differences. You know, we did enjoy it in the old cowboy days. That was really fun. But in effect, every Russian has entitlement to free medical treatment. It's a massive city, 17 million people living in it, a lot of people in high-rise buildings. And you're never maybe more than 1, 2, maximum 3 kilometers away from what they call the polyclinic, your little local doctor's clinic. And these are in every small community in Moscow. It's just that, and in those clinics, you can get some fine treatment from some wonderful doctors. The difficulty often is getting past the administration staff. And if you don't arrive with a nice bottle of wine or just some nice groceries or some strawberries or some cherries, your chances of being seen that morning are very, very low. And this is where some of the old procedures just have not changed. And say, I've been very lucky when I've been here. I haven't had to use facilities that much. But I have found the doctors, once you get to them, and as a foreigner, they smell money, so you tend to get through much quicker. I've never actually taken a bottle of wine into a doctor's surgery, but I have paid a lot more money than anybody else. But I say, there is this legacy, this 70 years of communism and the way everything worked here, the way things didn't have to work, but favors were appreciated, whether it was money or gifts or goods or whatever. And once you're through that, there is the treatment here available.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals are being built. I say the complete infrastructure here had been run down, had been and was left in the early, especially in the 90s, those years. The oligarchs were getting richer. Everybody was getting rich. But no infrastructure was being created. Now it's very, very much an emphasis on infrastructure in the city. Things are being improved tremendously. It is happening to healthcare. But there's still that legacy again of, oh, don't trust it, it's Russian.
Right.
And anybody abroad is going to be much, much better. We've seen this with the sanctions that we're suffering at the moment with the geopolitical situation. Don't trust that Russian wine, can't be good. Have to have French wine. They sell terrible French wine here at ridiculously expensive prices. And I hosted a dinner not long ago, and we had Russian wines, and it was only their second harvest. The wines, I wouldn't buy them, but they're going to be very interesting in the future. But it's this mentality of, I mean, Russian cars, no, I wouldn't buy them. But a lot of Russian products are very, very good quality now, but that stigma is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kim, you mentioned the sanctions that are being imposed right now, and can you give us some insights as to what daily life is like in Moscow for the average person?
It's been a comedy of errors, really. When the sanctions were imposed, I mean, there are sanctions on the banks, and these are very serious, and financing and everything else, but they seem to have survived. For the person on the street, it's hardly affected. We see some people. I met a lawyer the other day, and he was really upset because his children can't eat their Italian cheese for breakfast, and the kids just can't handle it. They have to leave the country. Turned out it was actually Dutch cheese anyway, and you get Dutch cheese made in Holland, made in Russia, which is actually better. No, for the average person on the street, actually it's had very, very little effect. Let's say we have got a shortage of some imported product. As you may have noticed, because I seem to have mentioned wine several times during this conversation, I'm a wine lover. And actually I've seen the wine almost become a third in price. And that's not just because of the devaluation of the ruble. That's because people were earning too much money before.
Uh-huh.
Now they've had to become much more commercial, and it's been tremendous for Russian agriculture, for farmers, for the dairy farmers. They're being given so many opportunities to shine and compete with the European farmers who'd had all those years of practice of refining and then creating their products. And Russia's got these thousands of kilometers, millions of kilometers of beautiful, beautiful countryside. And they say the farmers now are slowly starting to wake up that they also have an opportunity. So really, it hasn't affected us. It's slight increases. Inflation this month is now down again. It was up to double digits. Lots of horror stories. I think lots of people using the opportunity to try and make some more money. But in effect, when you go to the market, yeah, a slight increase, but not a vast increase that I notice in my weekly shopping anyway.
And has that impacted the number of people who are able to travel for medical and health-related services?
If you believe the press, basically everybody in Russia had suddenly lost all their money. Russians have been losing their money for so many years. We had a collapse in 94, another collapse in 98, another one in 89, was it? Where banks literally just closed. That's it. You had money in the bank? Well, you don't have money anymore. So anybody that I know, nobody keeps their money in rubles. You have a little bit of money in rubles because you need it here, but you keep your money in dollars or in euros. And it's there's this misconception that Russians only can keep their money abroad. You can have a dollar account or a euro account in any bank in Moscow. You can also have your money abroad. There's no laws against it as long as it's legally declared income. And we see this in the real estate sector. There's been a slowdown because of the political situation, but the value that people are buying, you know, they have their money in dollars, they have their money in euros, and they're still buying, and they're still buying property abroad, and they're certainly still buying treatment abroad. It has maybe affected the lower end of the market. We see this in tourism. The mass market has been badly affected. There, yes, suddenly the cost of a cheap tour to Thailand or to Turkey is suddenly costing 50% more. And that would be the same for medical tourism. The people who may be going for their first ever treatment, they have possibly suffered and are not able to travel at this moment. For the higher end people, absolutely no change at all.
Well, thank you, Kim. This has been a very thought-provoking conversation, and this truly is a global sector, and you have brought another dimension of this sector to our attention. Please tell our audience how they can reach you.
Well, if they want to reach me, I am the organizer of the Moscow Med Show. We are the medical exhibition in Russia, and you can find all details of the Moscow Med Show on www.medshow.ru. So that's .ru for Russia. And anybody wants to contact me, my name is Kim. I'm pretty well known in this industry. And ask anybody in Moscow for Mr. Kim, and they generally know where to find me.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you again, and
thank you, Kim. And this is Elizabeth Ziyumba. You've been listening to the Medical Travel Show. Please remember to look for us and like us as the Medical Travel Show on Facebook.
And this is Irving Stackpole. You have been listening to the Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas, challenges, and benefits for global healthcare services. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the UR Business Network.